So we left off by a statement by Abaye, which caused us some problem, which is that Abaye said that you're chayev shtayim, chayev two chataot here by the case of prisha, and we said that one was for knisa and one was for prisha, and the Gemara was trying to come up with the circumstance or the situation in which you could have somebody be chayev two chataot in the same biyah. The conclusion of the Gemara was that it was eno samuch levesta, or it was samuch levesta, and it was a case of a talmud chacham. And Tamar Chacham Lezu, Vein Tamar Chacham Lezu, it's Samach Levesta. And Tamar Chacham Lezu, he knows that he's not allowed to be Boel Samach Levesta, or he knows that it could be problematic, but he does not know the other din of Prisha, he does not know the din that he's not allowed to pull out until there's an Aver mate when it comes to be when a woman declares herself a Nida in the middle of the Biyah. So on that, Rava says, Vama Rava Tarvayu Taninhu. Both of these chiyuvim, the chiyuv for knisa and the chiyuv prisha, are mishnayot. Knisa tanina, prisha tanina. We have a mishnah for knisa, a mishnah for prisha. Prisha tanina, prisha. We have a mishnah. That's our mishnah here in Shavuot, right? Diktani haya mishameshim at tehora. He was having biyah, cohabitating with a woman who was tehora. V'amra lo, and then she says to him, "Nitameiti, I became tamei in the middle." So what's the what's the din over there? Right, we know the din, Uparesh Miyad. And if he, instead of doing what he's supposed to do, which is to wait, he is Paresh Miyad, then he's Chayav. So that's exactly, that's one of the Chatot that we're discussing over. That's the Chatat of Prisha, which is that he's Paresh Miyad when she becomes Nida in the middle of the Bi'ah. And that's our Mishnah here in the Shavuot. Knisa, we have another Mishnah. Nimtza al Shelo Tmeim v'chayavin Korban. There's a Mishnah Nida. A Mishnah Nida is talking about a Bedika. Talking about a Bedika that is done by the man or the woman after or subsequent to the relations that they had. And then they look and they see on the aid, they see on the Bedika cloth, they see that there's dam. What's the din if they find dam on the Bedika cloth? So it depends. If the dam is found on the woman's cloth, depending on how much after they had biyah it is, that the Gemara Nida discusses how long afterwards it has to be, then when it comes to the dam that's found on the woman's cloth, then it's a safek. Because we're not sure when that dam came. I mean, that we're not sure if that dam happened after the biyah. We're not sure if it happened before the biyah. On the other hand, if you find dam on the bedika cloth of the man, then we're certain that she was a nida at the time of the biyah. Because whether she was a nida beforehand, whether she was a nida during the biyah, whenever it happened, he came into contact with her as a nida, because otherwise, how do you explain the dam that's on his aid, on his aver? So that's, again, an important distinction, again, in Shiloh's nida, that anytime there's the man has dam on his aver, or dam on the b'diko, then it's a dindo raiso, that it would be, she's a nida. So it's only, the questions really only arise when the bedikah, or when you have issues of dam or sfeikot of dam by the woman. So now this Mishnah says, and this is what we're discussing over here, the Mishnah says, nimsa shelo, they found dam on his cloth after he checked, tmeim, they are both tamei, she's tamei nida, and he's tamei boel nida, v'chayavin bekarban, and both of them are required to bring karbanot, because they are vadai nida. She was a vadai nida. He was vadai boel a nida. And if that's the case, then we're both, they're both chayavim karbanot, because they did something b'shogeg. Ah, why are they shogegim here? Why aren't they anusim? They really should be anus, meaning that they didn't do anything on purpose. They just found the blood afterwards. Why should they be chayav at all karbanot? And that's the point. That's what exactly what the Gemara is talking about here. So the Gemara says, my love, what's the case here? Must be b'samuch levesta. Must be a case where it was close to her veset, ve'aknisa. And we're talking about before, and he thought he had enough time to be bo'el before she became a nida. And it was samuch levesta, and in the end, it turns out that he wasn't. It turns out that he was bo'el, and she wasn't nida. So that's why they're shogegin, and that's why they both have to bring karbanot over here. So there I have a mishnah, according to Rava, I have a mishnah for knisa, and a mishnah for yitziah or prisha. So amalei ravado vermatno the rovo lolo meimelacha bishlo samuch levesta. I don't necessarily agree with you. I don't. Who says that mishnah and nido is really discussing the instance of shlo samuch levesta? Let's say that it's discussing a case of samuch levesta. Let's say it's discussing a case shlo samuch levesta ve'aprisha, and it's talking about prisha, not about knisa, but rather about prisha. Somebody says, "V'chi tema prisha lamali." If you say, what do I need another Mishnah? I need to talk about Prisha. Hatanale. We have a Mishnah right here in Shavuos that talks about Prisha. What do I need a Mishnah Nida about this? I need the other half of that Mishnah in Nida. What's the other half of the Mishnah? Nimtzar Shela. If they find the dam on her bidika cloth, Tmeim b'safek. Then there are safek Nida, safek Boel Nida. Because we're not sure when the dam came. When she did the bidika, she has dam. Did it happen after the Bia, before the Bia? Upturim in a korban. And they don't have to bring a korban because we are uncertain over here as to whether there was a Boel Nida. But I did the Bai Mitna Nimsa Shela. Since the Mishnah had to discuss the case of Nimsa Shela, the case where she does the Bdika, Tani Nami and Nimsa Al Shelo. So therefore it also mentioned the case of where he finds Dam on his cloth, even though it's this Prisha case. It's a case where he should have been Poresh, and it's identical to the case in our Mishnah. Now there are two basic questions, but there are a decent amount of questions on this explanation. One of the questions, which the Gemara will not address, is it says, in the Mishnah Nida, it says, v'chayavin korban, that they are both chayav a korban. Now, if you want to explain that Mishnah, it's talking about Prisha, there's only one individual who's chayav a korban when it comes to Prisha. When it comes to Prisha, it's only the man who did something wrong, right? He was the one who was poresh miyad instead of waiting. The woman is not an active participant here. She didn't do anything. Why should she be chayavet a korban? That's one question you could ask on that explanation, right? The other question you have to ask about the question on the question, which this the Gemara will ask, is wait a minute. The Mishnah here is talking about the bdika, meaning that you found blood on the aid, you found blood on the cloth that did the checking, whether it's for the woman or for the man. Now, when we're talking about a cloth that did checking, that is after the fact. That's something that's post facto, meaning that after the bia they do a check. Now, if we're talking about Prisha over here, what do you mean you have to check afterwards? We know she's in Nida. She said she's in Nida in the middle of the act. What do I need? Nimtza, Hadam. All of a sudden I found the dam on the cloth as if I didn't know she was in Nida until this point in time. Why is that relevant at all? So that the Gemara will ask that question. But those are the questions. This explanation is weaker in that point. So either you could say, happens to be that Chasam Sofer and the Nodab Yudah both discuss this. I think the Chasam Sofer says that the Gemara in Ochanami could have asked the question of why she's not Chayevet in Karban, so it also doesn't fit, but the Gemara had a better question. And the Nodab Yudah talks about Chayevin Bekarban as a more generic category. Chayevin Bekarban does not mean necessarily that she is particularly Chayev here, but that Chayevin Bekarban means that if they were both participants or types of cases like this, you would be Chayev a Korban. Alright, so now the Gemara says, Amalei Ravino the Ravado. Ravino says to Ravado, Ravino, who is the Rebbe of Ravado, says, Mi motzi l'ukum l'hahi b'shlo samach t'vesta. Can you really set up the case in Nida, that Mishnah Nida as being a case shlo samach t'vesta? Va'prisha, it's talking about a case of Prisha. V'ha nimtzuk toni, is what we just discussed. It says in the Mishnah that afterwards they see the cloth, and they find the blood on the cloth. The Nimsa, the Votar Hachimashma. Nimsa means, I didn't have this information until this point in time. Only now I'm looking at the cloth and I realize there's dam on the cloth. So now I have new information I need to deal with. Via Prisha, if we're talking about the case of Prisha, Mikora ki Porishle, right? Mikora avile yedio. Right? So if we're talking about Prisha, Mikora, in the beginning, ki Porishle Mikora avile yedio. Mean that you know already. I mean, at the moment he's being Poresh, he already knows she's a Nida. Why? Because she says Nidmeti. She says, I am a Nida at this point in time. So if she's already indicating to us that she's a Nida, what do I need this checking? What do I need to look at the cloth and his cloth, her cloth? None of this is relevant when we're talking about a case where she makes a statement of fact that she is a Nida at this point in time. How do you fit that into the Mishnah over there? So that's Ravina's question to Rav Ada. How could you do this? Now, what compelled Rav Ada to explain it this way? So, we're going to see in a second that Amarle Rova Tzayit Mai Dekama Rabach, or Rabich. Listen to what your Rebbe said. Meaning, he's responding to Ravad. Ravad, who tried to question Rava's bringing a proof from the Mishnah Nida that is talking about Knisa, he says to Ravad, listen to your Rebbe Ravino, who's telling you that it doesn't fit. Your explanation doesn't fit into the Mishnah. So, Ravad responds to Rova and he says, Hechi Atzit. How can I listen to my Rebbe? How can I listen to Ravina? Detanya, we have a Braisa, and this is what compelled Ravad to explain the Mishnah this way, even though it's difficult to explain the Mishnah this way, is because, Detanya, Allah, we have a Braisa on this Mishnah, Zuhi mitzvah taseh shebenida, shechayvin aleha, this is a mitzvah asay in the da'at that you are chayav on it. I mean, chayav on it means for horat based in hel parim helam dover shel tzibor. That's chayavin alea. This is a mitzvah asay. Vim ito mitzvah lo tasehi. If you are right, Rovo, that we're talking about knisa and samach tevesta, it's a lo tasehi that he violated. You're not allowed to be with your wife. We'll see in a second, and the second omud about what the isser is. But the isser, there's an isser to be with one's wife, samach tevesta. So that's an isser, that's a violation of a lo tasehi. The only way you can violate an asay is similar to the case where he was bo'el, and then in the midst of the biyah, she says, tamei anochi. So then there's a mitzvah tasehi to wait and not to be poresh miyad. So that would be talking about a mitzvah tasehi. So I say, because of the brisa calls this a mitzvah tasehi, I say it's got to be talking about a prisha. You, Rava, who explained that it's talking about knisa, yes, maybe it fits better in the words, but I can't explain this brisa anymore. The brisa who says it's a asay, according to you, should be a lo tasehi. So I'm alay, so Rava responds to him, no problem. If that's the brisa that you have, or the mesorah that you have, chaser v'tnei hochi. So chaser means here, chasuri mechsura, v'tnei hochi, means amend the Mishnah to read this way. Zui mitzvat lo tasehi shebenida. That da'at conclude, the Mishnah doesn't conclude, or the brisa, when it's talking about this Mishnah, does not conclude mitzvat asei, but rather this is a mitzvat lo tasehi shebenida, shechavein alea. Haya, now it continues. Now this is the chasuri mechsura, now the Mishnah continues. Haya mishameshi metorah. Ramra lo nitmeiti upereish miyad chayav zui mitzvah tasei shebenida. So the Rava amends the Braita to address the problem of Rav Ado, and his explanation, what compelled him to explain it about Prisha, was that the fact that the Braita called what's found in this Mishnah mitzvah tasei. So Rava says, no, you can amend that Braita, amend the Braita is incorrect. The Braita really meant to say that it's a mitzvah lo tasei. And that fits much better into the wording. Again, why are they both chayavin? And why are we discussing about cloths and finding out about a nida afterwards when we knew beforehand? So that reads much better into the Mishnah if you amend the brisa just so that it doesn't say mitzvah tasei, but rather mitzvah lo tasei. It's a chasuri mechsara in the brisa. So that's the explanation that's the Rova continuing the suya from yesterday, explaining that we have a Mishnah that shows you that you're chayav in cases of shogeg by case of knisa, samuch levesta, and also that there's a chiyuv chatat when it comes to prisha, when it comes to one pulling out when she has become an ida in the middle of the act of the biyah, that one is not permitted to pull out miyad. So that's our Mishnah here in Shavuot, and the other Mishnah is a Mishnah in Nida. So now Amamar, the Gemara wants to know, Peresh miyad chayav heichi ovid. What should he do? The Mishnah says that if he's Peresh from the woman immediately, he's chayav. So what are expectations of him? What should he do? So Amar Rav Huna mishmei derova no eitz eser tziponav bikarka, that he sticks, you know, his nails into the ground. He implants the 10 fingernails into the ground, ad shimot, until, the next word here is unclear. It's the way Rashi reaches, ad shimot vituvia, or the other possibility is the way that the Aruch has it, which is ad shimot vativ. Alright, so according to the Aruch, vativ is a name or a kinui for the member, for the aver. So that means that he should wait until ad shimot, right, until the member is no longer erect. So that's what the term for member is vitiv. Rashi reads it that he should be noetz eser tzipona bakarka ad shimot, right, until the member shrinks. And then vituvia, tuvia means, you know, ashrecha, ashrav, that's he should be blessed or praised for doing such a thing. I mean, tuvia is like ashkoyach. That's the way to do it. That's the proper way to do it, a proper way to act. So over here, Rashi says, no eitz sipronav bakarka is to give himself support, meaning that we don't want him to move anymore. Any movement would bring him hana'ah, and that's what's restricted over here. So he has no eitz sipronav to support himself, to give him support so he doesn't move, until the point of time where he's no longer bekoshi. If he's no longer bekoshi, then he won't get hana'ah, and then he can, well, naturally he'll pull out, but he'll remove himself from the woman over here. So that's what the Gemara, that's the demand of the Gemara. So now, we have our statement here, Amar Rav Huna Mishmei Derava. It's likely that it's not Mishmei Derava, but rather Mishmei Derav, because of this next statement in the Gemara, which is Amar Rava. Rava goes, Zoto Merit. From this previous statement, we can make a conclusion. So if the Zoto Merit is referencing the previous statement, then obviously it wasn't Rava who made the previous statement. So now Zot, Rabbi says, Zot Emeret, Ameshemesh Meit Ba'arayot Patur. Someone who has intercourse with a member that is not Bekoshi, right, in Arayot is Patur. That's not called Bia. How do I know it's not called Bia? Well, what's the Isur by Nida? The Isur by Nida is to be Boel and Nida. So what's the requirement in our Mishnah here in Shavuot? The Mishnah says that what should he do? He should wait until he has an Eber mate. Why does he wait until he has an Eber mate? Because Eber mate is no longer Bia. So if he removes himself when he's no longer Bekoshi, that means that he's not doing Bia, he's not Boel and Nida, and he can remove himself. So that's Rava's conclusion from this Mishnah of ours. Because if you think a Mishamate mate is really Chayav, in our case, why is he Patur? Mishum da onusu? What do you want to suggest? The reason he's Patur is because he's an onus. He didn't know he was being boiled in the middle. All the woman says, Nitmeiti, in the middle. What can we blame him for? It happened all of a sudden. I onusu, ki perish miyad ami niftar. Right? So onusu. It should be, if you want to suggest that the whole Patur here is anus, or that he was an anus over here, then the Patur of anus should apply to any situation. No matter how he removes himself from the woman, he should be Patur because it wasn't his fault. He was an anus. The fact that we differentiate and we don't give a blanket head there for him to move himself out shows you that's not the reason that he's Patur over here. The anus is not what's driving the Patur. The Patur is being driven by the fact that he is removing himself in a circumstance where he's not being Boel anymore. That's the difference between if he removes himself Bekoshi or immediately, that's why he's Chayav, because then he's still in the act of Bia. He's still getting Hanoah, it's still considered Bia at that time. Whereas if he waits until he has an Eber mate, there's no longer Bia. There's no longer Bia, then he's not Boel Nidan, that's why he's Patur. So Rava says that the Patur here has to do with, or the reason we wait for his Eber to be in a state of being mate, is because then he's no longer Boel, he's not doing Bia anymore. And from that I conclude that a Meshamesh Eber mate is Patur, because it's not called Bia. So that's Rava's explanation of our Mishnah, and from that he can conclude about Arayot, that a Meshamesh mate Arayot is Patur. That's the din, that's the way Rava explains it. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to him, Olam Emelecha, HaMeshamesh mate Barayot Chayav. No, I disagree with you. I think your conclusion's incorrect. And I would say that even Mishamet made by Arayot is Chayav. V'ocho, my time of Patur. So over here, why is he Patur? Mishum da onusu. There it is. There's the Patur. The Patur is because he is an anus. Now what's your question going to be? If he's an anus, then why is there a differentiation here between if he's Poresh Miyad versus if he waits until the Aver is mate? Anus should be a blanket heter across the board. Bahada Marki Poresh Miyad Amai Chayav. Well, if he's an anus, why is he Chayav when he's Poresh Miyad? Because Hayad Oli Frosh Behana Mu'etet Uperesh Behana Miruba. You have a choice over here. Eino Chanami, that doesn't matter. No matter what you do here, you're going to be in violation. Because when you pull out, it's going to be a part of the act of Bia. No matter how you pull out, whether you pull out Be'ever Bekoshi, whether you pull out Be'ever Mate, when you pull out, that's a din of Bia, and you're going to be, that would have been, any way would have been Chayav in any circumstance. Why are you Patur over here? You're Patur because you're an Onos. You're Ones. There's an Ones here. So why then do I make a demand of you to wait? Well, because I have two options over here. I have an option for you to pull out immediately. And when you pull out immediately, yes, you're doing Bia, but you're also getting full-fledged Hanoah when you pull out at that time. Or the other option is I ask you to wait until you have an Eber mate and then pull out. In Ochanam, it's still Bia, but it's Hanam Wetet. It's a lesser extreme or a lesser form of Bia. So it's a lesser form of Bia. I'm going to tell you when you have to opt, even though you're an Ones over here, we'd better to choose the path that is a lesser of a violation. What's a lesser of a violation when you have an Eber mate? So that's the way Abai explains the Mishnah, and based on that, he's going to conclude that HaMeshamesh Meit Barayot is Chayav. Because the whole Patur in our Mishnah here for pulling out is a Patur of Ones. He didn't know it was going to happen. He's Patur because he's an Ones. And therefore, it's really irrelevant whether it's called Bia or it's not called Bia. He's Patur. So then why do I have any differentiation in the Mishnah? The differentiation in the Mishnah is about how much of an act of Bia is it? You know, how great an act of Bia is it? It's a lesser act of Bia or a greater act of Bia? We prefer you to minimize the amount of Bia that you're doing over here. So we ask you to wait until you have an Eber mate in order to remove yourself. So Amalei, Rabbi Baruch Hanan le Abaye. So Rabbi Baruch Hanan says to Abaye, Im kein matzina ruka b'ktzara b'dnida. Wait a minute. If that's the case, you've basically created the equivalent to what we had in Tumat Mikdash Ukdashav. Tumat Mikdash Ukdashav, when he comes to me in the Mikdash, what did we demand of him? We say, take the shortest path out, not the longest path out. I mean that we make it the French, either way, he's Tamei in the Mikdash. That doesn't change. He was Tamei in the Mikdash. We're just asking him to make a choice to go out the shorter path, not to go the longer path out. So to over here, both these cases, he is an Anus. And we just ask him to make a choice, to make the better choice, the choice that involves the lesser Isur over here. So if that's the case, right, then Anan Tnan, and we have Anan B'Mikdash Tnan. We only in our Mishnah find the concept of Arukah and Ktzara when it comes to Tumat Mikdash. I mean that when he became Tameh in the Mikdash. So why over here, why is it not mentioned by Nida? I mean that why is it only by Mikdash do we mention the concept of Arukah and Ktzara? That should have application, or that should be meaningful by the case of Nida as well. So the Gemara's answer is Ela Mishum Delo Domi Arukah Dehocho Ketzara Dehatam. Arukah Dehatam Ketzara Dehocho. That's because the Arukah and Ketzara, when we say that it only applies by Mikdash, is because the Arukah and Ketzara of Mikdash are different than the Arukah and Ketzara of Nida. So here, the Gemara says there's a difference between the Arukah Ketzara of the Mikdash and the Arukah Ketzara of Nida. By the Arukah and Ketzara of the Mikdash, we want you to go out the shortest way possible and not the longest way. But by Nida, it's just the opposite. We want you to take the long way out, not the short way out. So therefore, that's what it means by Mikdash, there's an Arukah Ketzara. By Nida, there's no Arukah Ketzara. Because they're not the same. They're actually the opposite. By Mikdash, go out the fastest way. By Nidah, go out the long way. Meaning that take more time to go out. And that's what it means that we, by Mikdash Tnan, Arukah Ktzara, and not by Nidah, because Nidah really doesn't have the same Arukah Ktzara as the Mikdash. It's actually a different form of Arukah and Ktzara. All right, so now, based on that, we have Rava's opinion, which is the tour over here, relates to the fact that you are Meshamesh mate, and that makes you patur because there's no longer biyah. And then Abaye's opinion, which is the patur here, really devolves from the fact that you're an ones. And because you're, in this case, you're ones, therefore you are patur, and differentiating between why you have to be poresh later on when you have an aver mate, and versus being poresh yad bekoshi, is just the levels of degrees of biyah. We want to lower the degree of biyah, just like when you're leaving the Mikdash. We'd like you to go out the fastest way, even though you're now Tamei in the Mikdash. According to this, that Abaye thinks that the whole Ptur is Ones, now we have a question over here, which is, Matkif lo Rav Huna Breder of Natan, Umiyam Rabaya Nosu? Can you really say that the whole Ptur derives from Ones? Why? Alma v'shlo samuch levesta kamrinan. The only time you can say that he's an Ones is if it wasn't right by the time of the Veset. Because we said, when you're samuch levestet, that's a case of shogeg, then you'd be chayav a korban. To say that he's patur over here for the prisha because of a case of ones means that it wasn't samuch levesta, it was a case where he shouldn't have anticipated the fact that his wife would be a nida at that time. Ah, so if that's the case, v'habaye, our whole problem yesterday, at the end of yesterday's daf, started because Abaye made a statement that itmar Abaye amar mishmeid revchir barav chayav shtayim. You're chayav twice. One for the Knisa and one for the Prisha in this case over here. And the only way we could explain that case, which is what we, started today, the Gemara started with Rabba, was the case of Prisha was a case of our Mishnah, and the case of Knisa was a case of Samuch LeVesta. So we know that our Mishnah is talking about a case of Samuch LeVesta, which is a case of Shogeg and not a case of Ones. So how could Abaye now explain the Mishnah as being the Ptur coming from Ones when he just explained that the Mishnah is talking about a Chayev Karban because it's a case of Shogeg by Knisa? It's Chayiv Shtayim. So, Alma B'Somach Levesta, Gamin, Ba'abayi Damar Chayiv Shtayim, Alma B'Somach Levesta, Skin. And if you say you're Chayiv Shtayim, that means the case of Somach Levesta. Ki Yitmar De'Abaye Be'Alma Yitmar. Abaye's statement that you're Chayiv 2, one for the Knisa and one for the Prisha, is not necessarily referencing our Mishnah. It's not talking about our Mishnah. That was said in a general context. It's not necessarily, when he made the statement that you're Patur because of our Mishnah, that's because of the case of Ones. Because you're Anus. That's why you're Patur in the Prisha case in our Mishnah. What about the case that he says Chayiv Shtayim? Chayiv Shtayim was an independent statement that he made. There is a case where you could be Chayiv two Karbanot. What's that case? It's a case of Prisha and Knisa, and we came up with all the circumstances that allow it to happen. But that's an independent statement. It's not modifying the Mishnah, not explaining the Mishnah necessarily. It's a different case entirely. So that's the answer. All right. Itmar, by Minei, Rabbi Yonatan ben Yossi ben Lekunya, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yossi ben Lekunya. So it sounds like it's from his brother, right? Rabbi Yonatan asked his brother, Rabbi Shimon, Azhara the Boel Nida Minayin. Where is the Azhara for someone who, right, sleeps with a Nida? Min HaTorah, from the Torah. How do we know that you're not allowed to sleep with a Nida? So Shokol Kalo, he took a clod of dirt, earth, Potok Pei, and threw it at him. He says, Azhara the Boel Nida, that's a Mufurash Pasuk. Velisha B'Nida Tumata Lo Tikrav. I mean, what's the question? I mean, that's a mafurash pasuk. Who needs to know about an azhara, about the nida? You can read the psukim, zil kari bei rav. You need to ask me about where we know that there's an azhara for sleeping with the nida? That doesn't make any sense. Ella, no, the question is this. Azhara l'mashamesh imatorah v'amra lo nitmeti lo nifresh miyad minolon. Where do I know this azhara? Where do I know the fact that you're not allowed to remove oneself? You're not allowed to separate oneself when it comes to a nida. When a woman says in the middle of the act of biyah that she says a nitmeti, how do I know that you're not allowed to pull away? So Amar Chizki Amar Kra Vatihi Nidata Alav. That it says there Vatihi Nidata Alav. What does it mean Alav? Afilu Bisha Nidata Tehe Alav. Even at the time of nida Tehe Alav, there's still a restriction on him. And the restriction still applies to him even at a time when there's a nida. So even at the time when she's a nida, the restriction applies. And what's that case? What's the case when it's the nida's with him or tia alav, the nida's on him? That's a case when he's boel and all of a sudden she becomes a nida in the middle of the bia. So when the nida's alav, all of a sudden it comes upon him, the nida, nevertheless, he's still under the restriction of the surim of nida at that point in time. So Gemara says, Ashkachan asei. Okay, now I know the asei, which is tia nida'ta alav, that he has to remain in a position where the nida is still upon him, meaning that he still remains connected to this woman who is a nida. That's a mitzvah to say. Don't pull back, but to nida to alav, remain in this position where you are going to be betumat nida and you're going to be biat nida. Don't move yourself out. So that's fine. That's the asay. Lo tasei minolon. How do I know there's a lo tasei? Amar a pop, amar kro. The pasuk says lo tikrav. Lo tikrav, nami lo tifroshu. And sometimes when it says Lotikrav means, you would think the normal meaning of Lotikrav means don't come close, don't get together, don't cohabitate with such a woman. But he says, no, the word Lotikrav can also be Lotifrosh, that the verb Lotikrav, Karev, can be used in different senses. Karev can be used in the sense of getting close, but Karev also can be used in the sense of stay far away. And that he has a proof to that. He has a pasuk from Yishayahu that proves that, which is dichtiv omrim karei velecha al tagesh bi ki kidashticha. Right, so over there in Yishayahu it says the people are speaking to Navi and they're saying to him, you know what, don't come near us, stay away, because you're holy and I am tamei, so don't come close to me, so I will not be tamei to you. So over there when it's karei velecha, they're using the word karev is right to keep distance or to give, don't allow us to be close, right? That's what it means over there. Don't allow us to be close because I will cause you to be tamei. So it's over here. Lo tikrav means, right, don't pull away. Don't pull away from us. Don't leave us at this time. Don't leave at this time. Don't pull away from the nida at this time. So it's over there. And the Navi Yishayahu was saying, don't pull away, even though it's you be tamei. If we stay close, it could be mitameyu. Nevertheless, don't pull away in that instance. All right, now we have the last lav here, and then we'll spend a couple minutes on some of the mikorot here, which is Tarabanan. Vizartem et bnei Yisrael mitum atam. It says that you have to, right, vizartem et bnei Yisrael mitum atam, that you have to warn bnei Yisrael to be poresh, to remove themselves from the tum'ah. So that's found in the end of Parshat Mitzora. Over there it says, "V'yizartem et bnei Yisrael mitumatam velo yamutu." Right there, they will not die. Velo yamutu b'tumatam b'tam emet mishkani yisher b'tocham. Zo torat azav asher tetzein imenu shechvat zer l'tamava v'adava b'nidata v'azav et zovol azachar nekeival l'isha sheishkavim t'meya. So over here he said, "V'yizartem bnei Yisrael mitumatam." What is the warning, or what is this idea to be poresh, that bnei Yisrael should be poresh from the tum'ah? So that's where it says, "Amar Rabbi Yosha mikan azarat bnei Yisrael shifrushu minishotayim samuch levestan." that they have to separate from their wives at a period close to their vessel when they would expect to be a nida. Vikama, how much in front of this, or how much precaution do they need to take? Amaraba ona, they have to take a ona. One ona, as by the Gemara, is a 12-hour period. That's any 12-hour period. If she normally sees during the daytime, you must separate her from that entire day period, the 12 hours. If it's the nighttime, you must separate her from the entire 12 hours of the nighttime. That doesn't matter whether it's the beginning of the night, day, middle of the day, end of the day. He just has to separate her for that day, that 12-hour period of the day. It doesn't matter if it's the beginning of the night, middle of the night, or the end of the night when she normally sees her or not. He has to separate her from her for those 12 hours for that entire night. Alright, now, at this point in time, it's important to discuss over here what exactly it means that it is there's an azhara, there's an iser d'oraisa over here, that a person should put separate from their wife, samuch levesta. So this actually raises a number of issues. I'll read you the Rambam with regards to this halacha, and when we read the Rambam, you also get, well, after that we can ask some of the questions, we can discuss some of the questions that arise from this issue. And that is that the Rambam says, Vasula adam lavo ishto samuch levesta. But one man, a person is not allowed to be with his wife at the period of time close to the vessel when she expects to see her tumat nida. Shema tire dam, because maybe she'll see the dam. Bishat tashmish, at the time that they are cohabitating. Shenemar, and he brings our pasuk. Vizaretem ebnei siyom etumatam. Vikamo, how much time does he have to separate? Maya darkar lirot bayom, right? Asur l'shemesh mitchilat ayom, all that day. Vimaya darkar lirot balaylo, asur l'shemesh mitchilat alaylo. So I'll do the easiest piece of this first, which is something that is well known, that here when we say samuch levesta, we separate the ona, according to this, or according to the Gemara, the only requirement is to separate for the ona itself, of the when she would normally see the veset. There is something called the onat or zarua. The zarua also added, and it's the biasaf, it's part of the Gotma Mani, it also brings it, something of a similar genre from the biasaf. But there's also the Orzarua who suggests that the Ona is not simply the Ona in which she sees the Veset, but also the Ona preceding that period of time. So that's called the Onat Orzarua. In general, people are machmir for the Onat Orzarua unless there's an issue, meaning that we can be Mako, since that Ona is probably only Midrabonon. So it's, and for certain Midoran, probably almost certainly Midrabonon. There, if we need Kulot, over there we're willing to be Mako when it comes to the Onat Orzarua. But that onat or zarua is something that is some sort of hasafar, a chumrah, although there are others who suggest that one explain that the or zarua doesn't necessarily disagree with the others, but he's just talking about a specific case. The specific case, and this is, I think the Shach brings down over here, that the specific case in which he was speaking about is a case where a woman normally sees her veset at the beginning of the day. Like right as the day starts. So there it doesn't make any sense to say the Ona is the day itself, because there is no Ona. The Ona would really be the night before, or the 12 hours beforehand. So from that, the Shach claims that the Or Zarua is speaking about that type of Ona, and he doesn't disagree with the other Rishonim, who believe that the Ona is simply the time period in which she normally sees her Veset. That's the easiest of the issues. The other issue, which is much more difficult and something that needs to be addressed over here, is that Rov HaRishonim, it's almost across the board, the Rov HaRishonim believe that Vestot are Midrabonon. The whole idea of Veset is a Din Derabonon. Now, if the Din of Veset is a Din Derabonon, number one, why are we quoting a Pasuk over here, Vizartem, et b'nei Seom Mitumatam, to say that a person has to separate Samuch LeVesta? That's a Pasuk Midoraisa about a Din Derabonon. So the normal answer for that is that it's kra asmachto bi'almohi. The pasuk is simply just an asmachto. So that's how you can answer up, and that's how some of the Rishonim deal with it. But the bigger problem is that our Gemara over here says that you're chayav achatat. Why are you chayav achatat over here? By the case of Knisa, you're chayav achatat because he was boel samuch levesta. He's boel samuch levesta, that makes him into a shogei, and that makes him chay midoraisa in a korban because he did it samuch levesta, which makes the suggestion that this is a din doraisa, not a din derabonon. Because in a din dera, if it was simply, right, when it's not samuch levesta, you're an ones, and you don't have to worry about it. So if this was only a din derabonon, then mina Torah, it should have no consideration whether you're samuch levesta or ain't samuch levesta. Why is our Gemara making any differentiation between Enu samach levesta and samach levesta? If veset is a din derabonon, and you're dealing with a din doraisa. Alright, so that's a serious question that has to be dealt with. There are a number. The No Debi Yehuda is one of those that, that deals with ask the question. And the No Debi Yehuda, in one of the suggestions, says that Eino Chanami Vestot are de Rabbonon. But once the Rabbonon established what the Vestot are, the Rabbonon's establishment of Vestot changed the person's perspective on when he's classified as an Ones and when he's classified as a Shogeg. Meaning that what's the difference between being a person who is Ones and a person who is Shogeg? An Ones is something where I don't expect. I shouldn't be expecting it. Shogeg is I should have taken better precaution. I could have expected it. So the No Debi Yehuda says the Din Derabanan has impact or influences my mindset. So therefore, when it's not Samuch Levesta, that's classified as a case of Ones because there's no way I should have anticipated it. When it comes to the case of Veset, even though I'm in a Torah, I shouldn't have anticipated it, but once the Rabbanan told me at the time of Veset I should anticipate it, my mindset is that it's a case of Shogeg. If it's a case of Shogeg, I should have anticipated such a thing, and therefore I become a Shogeg and not an Ones anymore. That's the No Debi Yehuda. There's also Rab Chaim. There's Rab Chaim on this Rambam, and the Rab Chaim is very interesting, which is that the Rab Chaim tries to differentiate between the classification of Vestot Derabbanan versus Vestot Deoraita. And Rav Chaim suggests that a Veset Doraita just means that there is a period of time where I could suspect that she might be a Nida. That doesn't mean she will see blood. It doesn't mean that we will say that she saw blood. All it means is that there's a period of time in which I should suspect the fact that maybe you'll see Dam. If I suspect the fact that you will see Dam, then I have an Isra Midar Torah of Izartem et Bnei Somi Tumatam. I have to be Poresh from a period of time where you could be a Nida. Not that she will be a Nida, not that she will definitely see, but I just have to be Poresh. The Din Derabbanan is, even if I don't see, the Din Derabbanan, Veset Derabbanan is, even if I don't see, you're classified as if seeing. The Din Derabbanan, Veset Derabbanan means, even if I don't see Dam, it's as if you did see Dam, we classified you as a Nida, as if you saw the Dam on that point of the Veset. So the difference of Doraisa versus Derabbanan is, Doraisa just sets the period of time when it'll be classified as Yemei Nida. It's Midayik in the Rambam over here, the Rambam that we read, which is that the Vestot don't necessarily make her into a Nida, but they classify what's called the Shiva Yimei Nida and the 11 Yimei Ziva. All the Vestot does mean a Torah is set when it's called Yimei Nida. The Vestot Derabbanan is what calls you, makes you into a Tamei, or makes you into a Nida, Vadait, even though you didn't see any Dam because of the Vestot. Right, the last thing to discuss over here is the issue of during the Onah, or during this period of time of Samach Levesta, what restrictions apply? Obviously, you can't have Bia with one's wife during that period of time, but what about all the Harachokot that deal with Anita? Do all the Harachokot apply, or do the Harachokot not necessarily apply over here? So the Agot Mamoniot quotes over here on the Rambam, the Kotav HaRamban, Horem Mitzat Balei Horah, She'en Asur El B'Tashmish, that the only thing you're restricted during this period of time of Samach Levesta is in Tashmish. There's no other harchakot that you have to have. Shein kan ala chashash tedivrehem. It's only a din derabbanan, so don't worry about it. V'chein katav haravan. V'chein nir adat sefer tshuma. V'chein katav lashon rabbeinu mechaber. V'chein pashat heter b'chol malchutam. That's the heter that they don't worry about anything whatsoever. Whereas, the Shulchan Aruch, when he quotes it, and others, like the Radvaz and others that quote this, say that that the separation or the prisha over here is not that you have to do all the harchakot, but you have to do all the harchakot that deal with something that could bring you to bia. So obviously bia is restricted, but also chibuk v'nishuk, right? Whether it's anything that is shows affection, closeness, or kiruv basar, any of those items, those harchakot will be in effect because we want to prevent you from coming to bia. Other types of harachakot, which are just things that bring about the love or closeness, those will be permitted because we're not, this is a, again, even if they violate it, it's only a chashash derabonon, it's a bia derabonon, a isur derabonon. So we're not going to make a isur derabonon on top of isur derabonon. What we're going to prevent you from doing, what we're going to ask you to do is stay away from things that are directly involved or that can come bring you close to bia. So that happens also to be a machlokas aposkim over here. How much or how many of the harchakot apply to this period of time of samoch levesta? All right. So now continuing in the Gemara, says Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Kol Sheino Pareish Mi Ishto Samoch Levesta. Person who doesn't keep this din, whether again whether it is a din darais or a din darabonon, Afilu Avino Bonim Kibnei Aron. Even he has tremendous Talmidei Chachamim, Oyev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, Meitim. They died, ichtiv, because it says in the Parsha, Bizhartem ebnei Yisrael mitumatam badava benidata. V'samuch lei, the next Parsha afterwards is, acharei mot, shnei bnei Aaron. So mot, the acharei mot, that is, the mate comes right after we have the Parsha of separating samuch levesta for a nida. So one violates that, then the smichu the Parsha tells you acharei mot, that there will be a mita of the children. Amrab chir ba'avar, amrab yochan, kol ha-paresh mi ishto samuch levesta, v'yelon bonim zcharim. Person who separates from his wife, samuch levesta, it's a schut, or it's a merit, which will allow him to have banim zcharim, dichtiv. Because it says in the Parsha, lavdil, this is the end of Parsha Shmini, at the end of Parsha Shmini it says, lavdil, benetamei, uvenetahor. V'samech lei, and right after that it says, ishaki tazriya. So the end of Parsha Shmini says, lavdil, benetamei, uvenetahor. Tamei, tahor, is between nida and not nida, meaning between samach levesta, shalom samach levesta. You have to be mavdil. You have to separate from any form of tumah, or any chashash of tumah. And the parsha right afterwards is ishaki tazriya v'yalda zachar. So that's it. The smicho of the parsha again teaches you, or gives you, tells you that the schut of samuch, separating samuch levesta is a schut for banim zcharim. Right, Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi Amar, Havi Yelo Banim Ru'uim L'ho Ra'ah. Not only is it for Banim Zcharim, it gives him children that will be Talmidei Chachamim that will give Psak Halacha Dichtiv. Lavdil. Now this is actually earlier in Parsha Shmini. This is in the Parsha of Shtuya Yayin. It says, Lavdil U'L'ho Rot. Over there it says that you have to be Mavdil and to give Hora'ah in this case. So now that's a, this is a little bit more difficult, this limud, because over there it says, Lavdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol ben HaTameh ben HaTohor, Ulaho wrote it ben Israel et kol HaChukim asher diber shalem b'yad Moshe. So again, it says, Lavdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol ben HaTameh ben HaTohor. So he's using again, ben HaTameh ben HaTohor, and then it says, La wrote it ben Israel. So that, smichot ha-parshio between ben HaTameh HaTohor and La wrote it ben Israel teaches you, if you separate Samoch Levesta, then you'll be zocher to have banim zcharim that are morei hora'ah. Dichtiv Avdil wrote. Amar Bechir Baav Amar Yochanan Kol Mavdil Al Yain BeMotzei Shabbatot. Anybody does Avdil Al Kos with Yain and Motzei Shabbos Havi No Banim Zcharim. That's again that's a merit for Banim Zcharim. Dichtiv because it says Avdil Ben Akosh Ben Achol. That's in the middle of Parshat Shmini. Chtivatam Avdil Ben Atamei Uben Ator. And then it writes right there next to the Avdil Ben Akosh Ben Achol. It says Avdil Ben Atamei Uben Ator. And then at the end of Parshat Shmini it also says Avdil Ben Atamei Uben Ator. And then after that, it writes, the parsha of Samech Le Ishaki Tazria. So it's almost like a double Gzera Shovel, because it says, Avdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol ben HaTameh ben HaTohor. That's in Shtuya Yayin. At the end of the parsha, it says, Avdil ben HaTameh ben HaTohor. And then it says, Ki Tazria, which is the next parsha afterwards. So that teaches you that if you do Avdol Al HaKos, Havin Len Banim Zcharim. So then, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who's, again, the same Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Avin la banim ruim la hora, dichtiv, lavdil, ulo rot. It says, lavdil ben akodosh ben achol, and then it says, ulo rot et ben Israel. So if you do Abdallah, then you have la hora et ben Israel. Amar Rabbin Yamin bar Yefet, Amar Abelazar, kol makadesh et atzmo b'shat tashmish. Anybody who's makadesh themselves at the time of tashmit, Rashi means, says that means that he does it in a tsanua manner. Avin lo banim zcharim. He has male children, shenamar. So again, at the end of Parshat Shmini, when it comes to talking about the Abdallah Bain, the Beimat Torah, and the Beimat Meah, it says over there, at that end of the Parsha, that V'item Kiddushim. So therefore, when you have that Smichot HaParshiot between the Parsha of Shmini, after the Behemot, Ki Ani Hashem El Kechem, Ki Hashem Yitem Kedoshim Ki Kadosh Ani, V'lo Tatamu Et Nafshutem B'chol Sheretz Am Rameis Al Ha'aretz. And then it says afterwards, Lavdil Ben Atamei Ben Ator, Ben Achaya Nechel, Ben Achaya She'elo Te'achel, and then, Isha Ki Tazriya. So that's Smichot HaParshiot, between the Mekadesh Atzmo, B'Shat Tashmish, again, it's again, Mekadesh Atzmo, B'Mutar Lo, that which is Mutar, he still does something B'Derach Tzniyut, he does it in a manner that's proper, then he is Zochet to have Bonim Ischarim. So over here, there's actually a very important Rav Moshe. There's a Rav Moshe. It's a very short Rav Moshe. It's a Rav Moshe in the Igros Moshe. It's found in Igros Moshe Or Chaim Chelek Dalet Siman Kuf. It's a question from his grandson. His grandson wants to know whether Nashim are Chayavot in Kiddush in Yom Tov. Are Nashim, are women Chayavot in Kiddush in Yom Tov? Where does this question come from? His question comes from the fact that by Havdalah, when it comes to Havdalah, we say the Orchot Chaim Paskins by Havdalah that women are pturot from Havdalah. Why are the women pturot from Havdalah? Because the Orchot Chaim says, because Asmichinu Nakrai. Because the reason that Havdalah, or the way we learn Havdalah, is because it's an Asmachta from a Pasuk. So his grandson in asking Rav Moshe says, well, Kiddush and Yom Tov is also an asmachto, because the Rambam, as the Rambam writes, the Rambam says, how do we know that on Yom Tov you have to make Kiddush and Havdalah? Because it says, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat deKadsho. By Zachor et Yom HaKadsho, we have a drush on the Gemara in Pesachim, Zachreu, right, Alayayim b'knisato b'yitziato, that you have to make Kiddush when it comes in and goes out, but that's not meant Shabbos. So along comes the Rambam, and the Rambam says, well, Asmuchu HaKra, that all Yom Tovim are called, right, Shabbos. So therefore, you have an asmachta to the pasuk of Zachor et Yom HaShabbat deKadsho. So now, if the Or Chaim says b'havdalah, the reason women are p'turot is because it's an asmachta dekra, then also by Kiddush and Yom Tov, the whole source of Kiddush and Yom Tov is an asmachta, then you should be p'tur as well. So Rav Moshe says to his grandson, you didn't understand, you don't understand the Or Chaim. The difference between what the Or Chaim says by Havdalah and by Kiddush is that by Kiddush, when it says asmachta lekra, that's a smicha lekra, they're using the pasuk of Kiddush, they're using the pasuk from Shabbos. And the pasuk on Shabbos tells you that kol she'yeshno b'shmira, yeshno b'shchira. So any din that applies to Shabbos, women are equally chayavot in it, even though it's a mitzvah seishur of zman grama, because you have the limud of kol yeshno b'shmira, yeshno b'shchira. So therefore, if you have a smachto to Yom Tov, therefore you can learn from that same pasuk the same din. Why does the Or Chaim say b'Avdolah that it's not a din in Shabbos and women are p'turot? Because where's the source for Avdolah on Shabbos? So everybody thinks the source for it is Zachor et Yom HaShabbat deKadsho, Zachreu b'Knisato b'Yitziato. Along comes the Or Chaim and says, no, it's an Asmachta Mikra. You know what Rav Moshe says? You know where the Asmachta Mikra is? Our Gemara here, in Shavuos. Where's the source for Avdolah? It's from here in Parshat Shmini, Lavdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol. There's a separate source for Avdolah that has nothing to do with Shabbos. That's Lavdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol. If you have a separate source, then I don't have the din of Kol she'yeshno b'shmira, yeshno b'shchira. Anybody who's chayav to keep the lotah says of Shabbos has to keep the assays of Shabbos. That's only true, it's a din in Shabbos. But if Avdolah is not a din in Shabbos, Avdolah is a din, a separate din that comes out of the Parshat Shmini, comes from our Gemara over here, Lavdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol. So based on that, Rav Moshe says that women would be chayavot in Kiddush Yom Tov, even according to the Or Chaim, who says they are p'turot from Havdalah on Motzei Shabbat. So now the Gemara continues to discuss over here in our Mishnah. We had a disagreement in the Mishnah between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. They both agree that when it comes to Yediyot HaTumah, only Halama of the Tumah is what qualifies for bringing a Karban Olei B'Yoreid. They both agree that Halem Mikdash is not qualified, but Halem Tumah does. Question is, what's the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah? We discussed it when we read the Mishnah, we discussed that they seem to be saying the same thing. Then when we get to the Gemara, we'll see what's between them. And here's the Gemara over here. So now the Gemara says, "My benayu, what's the difference between the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer and the opinion of Rabbi Akiva? Amar Chizkia, Sheretz v'Nevela Ika benayu. The difference between them is about the Tumah that comes from Sheretz and Nevela. Rabbi Eliezer savar b'inan adiyoda ibisheretz itmei." That you need to know, Rabbi Lezer says that the idiyah that you had before you forgot about being tamei is the idiyah that you know exactly how you became tamei. Rabbi Kiva says, lo beinan adiyado. That Rabbi Kiva says, you don't need to know, kevin diyado di itma baolam, lo tzarech ibisheret itmei, ibn nevel itmei. As long as he knows he was once tamei, it's irrelevant if he knows how or why he was tamei. That as long as he knew he was tamei, that's enough of a reason to say that he is tamei. So now, what's the reason? Is if you look in the Psukim, if you look in Vayikra Perakei in the Parsha of Karban Olei B'Yoreid, when it comes to Tumah, the pasuk reads like this: it says, "O nefesh asher tiga b'chol davar tamei, o benivlat chayat meya, o benivlat behemah tameva, o benivlat sheretz tamei." So it lists you all the types of Tumah. Ve'ne'elam mimenu, and then he forgets. So that's exactly what Rabbi Eliezer says. Look, the pasuk tells you became tamei with this or this or this. So it lays out for you each item that you became tamei, v'ne'elam mimenu, and then you forgot. So it sounds like you knew what you became tamei with, and then you forgot about it. So that's why Rabbi Eliezer reads the pasuk. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says, wait, you can continue reading the pasuk. It says, even though it enumerates all these items, o nefesh asher tiga b'chol davar tamei, o benivlat chaya tamei, o benivlat behema tamei, o benivlat sheretz tamei, v'ne'elam mimenu. And then he forgets about it, v'hu tamei. So what was ne'elam mimenu? V'hu tamei. That he forgot that he was tamei. So if you read what's after Ne'elam Mimenu, it says V'hu Tamei, it sounds like the whole Halama, the whole forgetting, relates to being Tamei. So that's the reason that they're forgetting. So that's the difference. The opinions of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer say, focus on Ne'elam Mimenu that he forgot. Question, what did he forget? Did he forget what was listed before in the Pasuk, meaning all the different types of Tumah? Or Ne'elam Mimenu that he was Tamei? And that's just the generic, or what's written after Ne'elam Mimenu, and that's Rabbi Kiva's opinion. V'chein Amar Ula, Ula also suggested the same thing, like Chizkiah, which is that the difference between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer relates to Sheretz v'neleva nevela yikivinayu. Dula Rami, Ula asked the question to Rabbi Eliezer, ah, de Rabbi Eliezer. He has a steer in Rabbi Eliezer, u'mashani. And he learned, mi amar Rabbi Eliezer binan ad yoda ibisheretz itmei, even nevela itmei. Does Rabbi Eliezer really require one to know that is what he became tamei with, whether it was a sheretz or whether it was a nevela? So you see, Ula understands that that's where Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is. His opinion is that we need to know what you became tamei in, and if that is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, now we have a steer in Rabbi Eliezer because that's what he requires here. But in another place, that's not the case, and that is in the case of a regular chatat. By case of a regular chatat, does a person need to know what chet he violated in order to bring a chatat? Say, for instance, in front of him were two objects that were asurim to him. He had two objects that he could have consumed, whether it was like, say, chelev and notar. They're in front of him. He's not sure which one he ate. He ate one of them, and he certainly ate either chelev or notar. He just doesn't know which one. Can he now bring a korban chatat? Does he need to know exactly what the chet is? Or does he just need to know that he violated something that requires a chatat? So that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. We'll see here, very many. I'm a Rabbi Eliezer, man of shach. Chelev achal, chayav. If he eats chelev, he's chayav achatat. Notar achal, if he eats notar, he's chayav achatat. Now, another case. Whether he was mechalel, Shabbos, or Yom HaKippurim, he doesn't remember. He knows he was mechalel one of them, he just doesn't know which one. So again, what's the difference with Shabbat chilel? Chayav. If he violates Shabbos, he's chayav achatat. Yom HaKippurim chilel is also chayav achatat. So now again, the other case is where a case where Ishto Nida and Achoto. That person who by accident sleeps, Bishogeg sleeps with his wife who's in Nida, or a person who sleeps with their sister Bishogeg, both of them are Chayavei Chatot. Again, he says, what's make a difference? He's not sure if he slept with his wife who's in Nida, or he slept with his sister. So again, Ishto Nida Baal, if he slept with his wife who's in Nida, Chayav. Achoto Baal, if he slept with his sister, Chayav also. So you see, from Elezer, it does not matter what you bring the Chatat for. As long as you know you're Chayav a Chatat, that's enough of a reason to bring a Chatat. Arguing on him is Rabbi Yeshua. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua, Arei Omer, it says in the Pasuk, Oda Lav Chatato Asher Chata Ba. It says that he knows which chait that he did, but he needs to know exactly what he did. But teaches you exactly which chait you need to know, but what the chait was for and why you're bringing this chatat. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. We're going to see a little bit later what Rabbi Lezer does with the word ba. So now, what do you see from here? Rabbi Lezer, by us, in the Tumat Mikdash Kutashav, says he needs to know. When it says, he forgot, he needs to know exactly what Tumah in order to be chayav. Whereas by a regular chatat, he doesn't need to know which chait, any chait, just put them all together as long as he's chayav a chatat. So what's the difference between those two opinions? So number one, that's what Ula asked that question, Stira and Rabbi Eliezer. But the fact that he posited such a question, Ula, shows us that he believes that Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah thinks that you need to know what type of tumah that you had, because otherwise there's no stira. If he didn't require to know what type of tumah, if he's like the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, then there wouldn't be a stira. That would be consistent in Rabbi Lezer's opinion. The fact that Ula finds it inconsistent in Rabbi Lezer's opinion shows you that he believes over here in our case of tumah mikdash kudashav that you need to know exactly what you came to tamei with in order to be chayav the korban ulevi arayed afterwards, which is not true by a regular chatat, where you don't need to know. You just need to know that you sinned in order to bring the chatat. Umeshani otam. So how do we reconcile these two opinions of Rabbi Lezer? Asher chata vehivit. It says that he did a sin, and he brings it, Amar Rachmana. Chet kol shil. If you do a sin, bring a korban. That's by the chatat. By the chatat, it says, you do a sin, yishar chata, baby, bring your korban, in order to rectify the situation, no matter what the chet is. On the other hand, hocha mechtektiv, in our pasuk over here, it says, b'chol davar tamei. So it says that he touched, b'chol davar tamei, anything tamei, which is a generic statement. So then, if it has a generic statement that he touched b'chol davar tamei, then oh, b'nivlat sheretz tamei lomali. What do I need to specify beforehand? All the different types of tumah, whether it's sheretz, nevela, all the different types of tumah. If it has a generic statement that includes all tumah, what do I need the specific statements for? So elosh v'amino b'inan adiodo ibe sheretz itmei ibe nevela itmei. Those extraneous parts of the pasuk are coming to teach you. That's exactly what you need to know. You need to know why you're tamei here and what you forgot that you're now chayav for entering into the mikdash. Rabbi Kiva believes, I did the bai the michta behema v'chaya. Look at the rabbi, k'tiv nami sheretz. So Rabbi Kiva, so what's Rabbi Kiva going to do with it? It's a good point, Rabbi Lezer has, that these were all listed out in the psukim unnecessarily. Because you already have the puzzle that says, b'chol davar tamei, which would include all these items. So why did the Torah go out of its way to enumerate each of these items? So Rabbi Akiva says, Ein Ochanami didn't need to do this. But why did it have to be more explicit? Because we needed the words Behema and Chaya. That's from Rebbe's drasha that we learned earlier in the Masechta, in the first parak, when the Gemara is trying to find, how do we know that the parsha of Karban Olev Yared is talking about Tumat Mikdash Ukdashav? So here the Gemara says, well, it says Behema and Chaya here. It also says Behema and Chaya by the parsha of Shlamim. By the parsha of Shlamim, where a person Tumat Aguf eats Shlamim, that is Chayav Karet, and that it says Behema and Chaya. So based on that, Rebbe says, you have some sort of Gzeir Shava of sorts, that tells you that, just like Behema and Chaya over there is talking about Tumat Aguf, the eating kochim. So to over here, the Korban Olev Yared is talking about Tumat Aguf and eating kochim. So that only solved one of the problems for us about Tumat Kodesh, Tumat Mikdash, or Tumat Kodashav. There, the Gemara had to find another way to learn it out. But because of that, that's why the Torah went out of its way to write all these different items and enumerate them, because we needed that for the drush of Behema and Chaya. Kedetano debei Rabbi Shmuel, kol parsha shneamar v'nishnet, any parsha that's written and then repeated, lo nishnet el b'shir davar shnitchadesh ba. It's only written to tell you the new item in it. So in Ochanami, you didn't really need to write all these items again, because you had b'chol davar tanei. So why are they written over again? To teach us something new. They're just that new halacha. The one new halacha causes us to rewrite all the items. What's that halacha? That's the halacha of Rebbe from the Behema and Chaya. Rabbi Eliezer, hi ba ma'avid be. What does Rabbi Eliezer do with the word ba? He obviously doesn't require ba to know which chet it is by the chatat. So what does he do with the word ba? It says, prat limit asek. Ba teaches you that you only chayav a karban chatat b'shogeg if you're not a mit asek. But if you're mit asek, then you are patur. What is a matasek? It happens to be a very important machlokas between Rashi and Tosafot over here. Rashi says that there are different types of mitasek. A person, and well, let's use the example here of cutting something on Shabbos. A person wants to cut something on Shabbos. Now, there are two possibilities of how he could violate. He ends up cutting something that is attached and severing it, detaching it from the ground, which is a malacha on Shabbos. But he did it by accident. Why? Because one possibility was that he was cutting something else. He was cutting something that was already detached, and then by accident, his knife went and cut something that was attached. So he's working on something detached, and then he ends up severing the thing that was attached. The other possibility is that he actually is cutting something, and he thinks the item that he's cutting is talush. And in the end, it turns out to be mechubar. It's the same chepza. The same object that he thought was talush really turns out to be mechubar. So these are the two possibilities, the two ways that he could violate the melacha of severing something that is attached. Is again, if this is happening by accident or by midasek, that is that one possibility is that he is working on something that is detached and then ends up cutting the object that is attached. Or he comes to cut the object that's attached, but he thinks it's detached and ends up cutting it and realizes afterwards that it's attached. Rashi differentiates between those two cases. He says the case of mitasek only applies to a case where you have trei gufin. Mitasek, where you're patur, is only in a case where I was working on something that was talush, and then I end up cutting something that is mechubar. Since I was working on the talush, then I'm mitasek when it comes to the mechubar. I cut the talush, and all of a sudden, for some reason, I hit something that was mechubar. That's classified as mitasek, and there you'd be patur. On the other hand, Rashi says, if I intended to cut the item that I ended up cutting, I just thought it was talush, and it turns out it's really mechubar. Rashi says, in that case, that's not mitasek. That's not, there's no patur over there. There's no patur because it's one object. That one object is nitkaven lachtoch betalush, and it turns out nimsa is mechubar. In those cases, you are chayav, and that does not have the patur of mitasek. So according to Rashi, to be mitasek, you really need two chefzot. The chefza in which you intend to take the action, and the chefza in the end, which you do take the action on. So they do those two chefzot. If it's only one chefza, and you just made a mistake in assessing that chefza, Rashi says it's not mitasek, in that case, you'll be chayav. Tosus, on the other hand, disagrees with Rashi and says, no, that either of these two cases are cases of mitasek. Now, mitasek, he suggests, could come or comes manifest itself in two different types of cases. One is if a person intended to eat something b'isur, and then he figures out afterwards that what? That it was something else that he ate b'isur. I mean, that he wanted to eat chalev, he ended up eating chalev, but it wasn't the chalev that he intended to eat. So over there, we say, that is pratam et asek. Not really. Over there, he's going to be chayav. If it's on Shabbos, for instance, melechet Shabbos, there he's going to be patur because it's not melechet mashevet. His machshava wasn't carried out. On the other hand, when it comes to chalavim, arayot, and other items where he gets anah, those items we're going to say that he is not classified as a mitasek over there, he's going to be chayav. The other case that Tosafot brings up mitasek is a case where, for instance, he thought that which was on the table was something mutar to eat, and he eats it, and it turns out to be that it was something asur. That's the case of mitasek that you patur, nothing to do with melechet makshev, that's patur of mitasek. But that's exactly the case that Rashi says you're a chayav for, and that's not classified as mitasek. And so Tosafot disagrees. Their disagreement is about a single object, single cheftza, that you think your assessment of the object is that it's talush, that it's not a problem. And then your assessment turns out to be wrong. So in that case, Rashi says, in that case, you're not classified as a mitasek, because that's one goof. That's one object. That's one cheftza. If it's on one cheftza, that's not classified as mitasek, and you'd be chayav in that case. On the other hand, Tosafot says, no. Tosafot says, wait, when you're dealing with an object, the same object, if you think it's something mutar, and in the end it turns out to be something asur, that is called mitasek, and therefore you'd be patur. So it's a machlok, it's between Rashi and Tosafot. It appears here, it appears in Sanhedrin, and also in Chulin. This in Kritud, this machloket about mitasek, according to Rashi and Tosfot, Rashi says mitasek is only when you have two cheftzos, two gufin, and you make a mistake, you're working on one and you end up touching the other or doing something to the other. And Tosfot says that even in a case where it's one cheftza, and that you think, or your assessment of the cheftza is that it's mutar and turns out to be asur, that's also called the case of mitasek, and you'd be patur in that case. Okay, we'll stop over here.